Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. All right, and I want you to follow along with me as I read. Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which were at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy as shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I shall know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. Not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in what sort of state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, I read the entire chapter, because I do that every once in a while, because I want to make a point that I've made before, but it's a point that needs to be repeated because it's easily forgotten. All right, we just read an entire book of the Bible, four chapters. All right, and it took me, reading aloud, it took me 13 minutes 12.35 seconds. So it took me less than 14 minutes to read four chapters of the Bible, to read the entire book of Philippians. Now, the whole point, in obviously, of doing that is to show that it really isn't that big of an imposition to take the time and read several chapters of the Bible a day. Granted, I understand some people read slower than others. Some people read faster than others. That's why if I was reading this without speaking it, I could read a lot faster. All right? But by speaking it, that forces me to go at pretty much the same rate most people would go. And so in doing that, what I have shown you is that it's not that hard. Every one of us probably wastes 15 minutes a day easy. And yet, so many people can't find time to read the Bible. It's not that we can't find time, it's we won't make the time. And that's the truth of the matter. And because we won't make the time, it hurts us. You know, it's kind of a lot of things that I've saw in this book as I go through this. It says that in verse 6 of chapter 1, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so that we see that picture of the fact that God has begun the work and he's going to continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then when we go over and we look in chapter 2, he says in verse 13, after he tells them to work out their own salvation in fear and trembling, he said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we see the work of God there in our lives. And then as we read going into chapter 4, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so we see a picture of all the way of God's provision all the way through that chapter in several other ways. And I'm sure there are other verses that I could use to illustrate. But the thing is, God is there. He's working. What would your life be like if you helped him? You know, we look, and God's going to do His work. God's going to do His work. One day, His work will be complete. And you'll be perfect, and you'll be holy. But why wait? Why not let him do work on you now? Why not do your part? Why not give fuel for the Spirit of God to use in your life? We hear it all the time about the Bible. How we need to read the Bible. How we need to study the Bible. How we need to memorize the Bible. And none of those things can be done without time. You know, it's kind of interesting. God transcends time and space. Yet He still works in time, doesn't He? God doesn't need the days of your life to complete His work. But He gives us a part, a chance, to be a part of His work. We talked in the morning service, we talked about the love that God has. And how we're to emulate that love. We're to love like God loves. But in order to do that, you've got to think like God thinks. You see, God doesn't sit in the heavens and look down on us and mope and moan about how everybody's treating him. He does what he's supposed to do. He has everything. You know, when they get to heaven, it said the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. Jesus said that there will not be an idle word spoken that men won't have to give an account for. God knows everything. The very hairs of your head are numbered, whether you got them or not. He knows where everyone fell. God has that much detail about us. But He doesn't sit up there and mope and moan and whine. He warns men that, hey, I'm God, I'm the righteous judge. You will be called into account one day. You will give an account to me. You will stand accountable. Even if you get away with it in this life, you will still give an account to me. And the wages of sin is death, but I love you, so I sent my son. And we read all about that, how God sent His Son, and that's His love toward us, and how He showed that love and sent Christ to be the propitiation for our sins, the full and complete payment for our sins. And through His sacrifice, through the shedding of His blood, through His death, His burial, His resurrection, we talked about all of that, and we talk about that, and we see that, the love of God. If we understand things correctly, we see God's love toward us. And we don't ever get to thinking, well, of course I'm saved. I deserve to be saved. I'm not like that person over there. By the way, if you think that way, it's probably a good indication that you might need to get saved. But that's God's love, and even though He knows everything, He knows it before there's a word in our mouth. He knows it all together. He knows what things we have need of before we ask. He knows all things. And yet, He doesn't immediately call us to account for our sins. Yes, sometimes we commit sins and the consequences of them catch up with us. That's cause and effect. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's not talking about the judgment of God. But that judgment's coming, and God knows everything. And yet, for all the information He had, you know, if you had as much information about other people that God did, not only would your head explode, but you'd be mad and you'd hate everybody from a human standpoint. If you knew what they thought, if you knew what they said in their private moments, how many here would like all the things you've ever thought or said in your private moments to be on full display? Well, they will one day when you stand before God. But boy, that sure would be embarrassing on here on earth, wouldn't it? And God has all that information, and yet He loves. And the only way we can love like that is to think like God thinks, to see things the way God sees it. You know, do you, when somebody does you wrong, do you see that as, and they seem to get away with it, do you see that as something that was just unjust and fair, they got away with it, and so you're going to be bitter over it, or do you know that one day they're going to give account for it? Think about that. But you can't think the way God thinks without looking into the mind of God. And you do that through the Word of God. 13 minutes, 12 seconds, 12.35 seconds to read 4 chapters. To crucify the flesh. To say, I don't care what's on the news. I don't care what's on Facebook or Twitter. I don't care what my neighbor's doing. I don't care what anybody else is saying about me or thinking about me. I don't care about any of that. My focus is going to be on the Word of God, the mind of Christ. Twelve point three five seconds to get a glimpse into the mind of God. To see things the way God sees. Who's ready to read another chapter? Think about that. I wonder sometimes what would happen if I just started at Genesis and started reading and just kept going. Wonder how long it'd be before somebody decided I've had enough of this and what guts out and gets up and walks out. I just want you to think about that, because you and I, we've got to get, if there's ever a day where we need to see things through God's perspective and see things from, this is the day. Can you not see what's going on in the culture and the world around you? Can you not see that spirit of Antichrist that's all around? Jesus told his disciples, what? Could ye not watch 1 hour? That would mean 16 chapters, wouldn't it? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for just the truth of your word. Thank you for, I hope as people read that they saw things there that caught their interest. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless each one with understanding. And Lord, help us to desire your word the way we should. Help us to just dedicate our time to you and give you whatever time is necessary to understand, to change, to become what we ought to allow you to work in us, to give you the tools that would make the work go faster. Lord, we know that all things that you say are going to come to pass are going to come to pass. We look forward to a day when our bodies will be fashioned like unto your glorious body. Lord, we need to see change now. But it's not going to come when God's people can't just take and set aside time for studying the Word of God, learning the mind of God. So Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to see and understand. I pray that you'd help us to see what it is we need to do, what is most needful. And that, Lord, we would choose that good part. We thank you. We ask your blessing as we close services. In Jesus' name, amen.